నమో ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే భజ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తబృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే సో సారీ యెస్టర్డే వి వర్ డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఎం హీన వ్యథయంతేద పురుషం పురుషర్షభ సమదుఃఖ సుఖం ధీరం సోమృతత్వాయ కల్పతే. I think that is verse 15. Yam hinam vyathayandiyada purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dheeram somradatvaya kalpade. Krishna is saying in three verses, Krishna spoke about how to overcome the dualities of life. If you look, you will see that. Which three? These three. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara తథా దేహాంతర ప్రాప్తిర్ ధీరస్తత్రాన ముఖ్యది. దట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్స్. సెకండ్ వర్స్ వాస్ మాత్రస్పర్శస్తు కౌందేయ శీతోష్ణ సుఖదుఃఖద ఆగమాపాయిను అనిత్యం తాం తిదీక్షస్వ భారత. దట్ ఈస్ ది 14, వర్స్ 14. అండ్ దెన్ నౌ ద 15th వర్స్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ కనెక్టెడ్ విత్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్. యం హీన వ్యథయంతేద పురుషం పురుషర్షభ samadukha sukham dheeram somradatvaya kalpade. Those three verses Krishna is saying to us, by following understanding of these three verses will help you to cross over the dualities of life. Dvandvam. Dvandvam means this heat and cold, happiness, distress, man, woman, day and night. These are all dvandvams, isn't it? Dvandvam, duality of life. So duality you can cross over, Krishna says, by studying these three verses properly. That's the idea behind it. So, we were saying there that Krishna mentions here that if you take this into your sangalpam, into your mind inside, then that is where the dualities are felt, isn't it? These dualities of happiness and distress and all that, where is it felt? It is felt inside the mind. So, inside the mind, how is it felt? In the form of attachment and aversion. The dualities, what is in the world, is felt inside in the mind in the form of attachment and aversion. That is called raga-dvesham, isn't it? And once that happens, the peace will go. The mind will get immediately disturbed. It will start moving. The mind's movement will start. And you can say that when that shanti or peace inside moves, you can experience that. For example, after you have sat down peacefully, listened to a nice class from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, when the mind is very peaceful, you feel very peaceful about it because you are hearing about the Krishna's absolute truth statements. After hearing all that, you go out. And then after a while, some incident happens. Your mind gets immediately attacked. Isn't it? Immediately it gets attacked. So when you go home, if you sit there and reflect on this, what happened to my mind, you can see immediately that somewhere ragam and dvesham has happened. That incident has caused some waves inside. The result of that waves inside was some attachment or aversion to something. To some person or to some object or whatever that has happened. So what it means is that ragadvesham is inside, attachment aversion in all of us, it's there. And when an incident happens, it immediately triggers that. And that ragadvesham disturbs the peace or the stability of the mind, in other words. Mind is not anymore, mind is attacked immediately, straight away mind loses its peacefulness. So, there's only one thing we can do for this. That's why Krishna gave us that idea, sarvatra ega darshanam, that in everything you see that one thing, that is keeping it. which is Sarvatra Brahmadarshanam, they call it. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned as Brahmadarshanam. So, Brahmadarshanam or Ekadarshanam is the statement in Upanishads. So they call it as Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. That's why they say it's everything is Brahmam. And it also says that another statement, which is Egameva Adyudiyam Brahma. There is nothing else except Brahmam in everything. Neha Nanasti Kinchana. Nothing else exists. There is no duality everywhere. So only. So till we experience this, that there is in everything, there is one thing that is taken these different names and forms, this realization comes, we will, our mind will get affected by that. That's the important point. So Krishna says that Shantam Upasidam Sarvam Brahmamayam, and everything has come from Brahmam. The word Brahmam is used by the jnanis, and the devotees use the word Bhagavan from Krishna. Yogis use the word Paramatma. It is one and the same. They are not different. Only terminology changes, but the fact doesn't change. So, it comes from Brahmam, it stays in Brahmam, and it gets dissolved in Brahmam. All these living entities, what we find, the world, the creation, everything has come from Brahmam. It is staying because the Brahmam is there, and it will also eventually get dissolved in Brahmam. Same thing. Then, if this realization comes, then this movement will stop of the mind. Mind's movement will stop. And Krishna says, Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Somrudatvaya Kalpade. If you look into that verse, you will see the last two lines. That Samam. Samam means equal. That when happiness is coming, distress is coming, when no movement to the mind, when the mind is not moving, Samam, equal, Sukham, Samadukha Sukham Dhiram. That in Dukham and Sukham, that Samatum. Samatum means that equanimity in the mind, Krishna says is Somrudatvaya Kalpade, that he is ready for liberation if he has come to that stage. In other words, that by effort he has managed to come to this understanding, and he has practiced it and realized it in this life, very life here, when we are here. That Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Somrudatvaya Kalpade. Krishna is saying that he has crossed over the dualities and he is qualified for liberation. As far as Krishna is concerned, Somrudatvaya Kalpade means he is allowed to be ready to drink the nectar of the spiritual happiness, in other words. So that is that verses he is talking about. And the result of that is complete peace within. Complete and in whole, wholesome, a wholeness, complete wholeness. Inside is totally in peace with the world. Totally in peace with the world, with everything. He is at peace. He is no more disturbed by anything. Sukham, dukham. Any happiness, distress, he doesn't get disturbed over it. And inside, the happiness of Brahmam, or the spiritual happiness, is coming. Ananda rupam vibhadi. That anandam is coming from inside. Just like they are seeing the example, when a flower is opening up, you know, from the bud, it becomes a flower. When it opens up, how the smell from the flower comes out. Exactly the same way, the soul is also coming out in it, through its, with its happiness comes out from the soul. So, these are, of course, things which has to be experienced. It is not to be discussed a lot. There's nothing we can do by discussing, but still, Krishna's words are like that. He says that Samadukha Sukham Dhiram Somrudatvaya Kalpade. So, Somrudatvaya Kalpade, he is qualified for that nectarian situation, that he does not have to anymore get affected by anything in this world. It's a very, and the same thing, Krishna will later on talk about it as Sthitapragnatvam. Sthitapragnatvam, the steady mind, steady intelligence, Krishna says, isn't it? We will come to that little later. Sthitapragnasyagabhasha samadhistase keshava. Arjuna asked Krishna, what is the nature of a person who is steady in his mind? And there are examples in the Bhagavadam. In many places you will see this Sthitapragnatvam and this same state of mind, Somrudatvaya Kalpade. Examples are Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Kundi Devi. They are all examples of this. Why? Because they have cultivated this knowledge and they have realized it. And so therefore, all sorts of disturbances come, they were able to get over it. They were able to go through it because they were not disturbed over it anything at any time. So later on you will notice that when Kam talks about sthira prajnatvam, which is same thing what Krishna is saying here, that dvandvam, once you get over it, then sthira prajnatvam comes in a natural way. So, in those, now what all we have seen in Bhagavad Gita? Let's go through a little bit, a summary of this. From verse 10 onwards. Ashochyan and Ashojastum. That's where Krishna started giving instructions. Isn't it? So, in that verse, Krishna said one important thing. Two important things. What was that? Prajnavadamscha bhashase. To Arjuna, he said, you are not a learned person. Why? A learned person does not cry over people coming and going in this world. That's the first realization. That a learned person will not cry about people coming and going from this world. That's not a symptom of learning. Number one. Number two, Krishna also said in that same verse, Nani Shochandi Pandita, that if you are crying about something, it shows that you are ignorant. The distress is coming because of ignorance. Ajnanam is the cause of dukkham, in other words. That anybody is feeling distress or experiencing distress, it's simply a symptom of ignorance in the person, nothing else. So those two things Krishna mentioned in that verse. In the next verse, which is 11, sorry, 12, yeah? Verse 12, Krishna says there that natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadiva nachayvana bhavishyama sarve vairama param. What does that mean? It means Krishna says there, my identity is natvevaham jatunasam, that I am always existed. That's my identity. It is your identity is also natvam neme janadiva natvevaham jatunasam, that you also always existed. Natvam na ime janadhiba, all these kings also always existed. In other words, from a spiritual platform, we are all eternal. We are not temporary. We live forever. We were always there in the past, we are now here, we will be in the future. So this important message Krishna got through that verse. Nachaivana bhavishyama sarve vairama param, that you will always be there. There is no need to worry about that I am going to be finished. Like we feel at the time of death, that we are dead and gone, that feeling will come, fear. What will happen to me? So there is no room for any fear, because there is no end to us. We are always eternally existing individual personality with souls. There's no question of our being any time destroyed. We will always exist. So that eternity, Krishna spoke in that verse. The eternal nature of us. That we are always existing, come what may. Body may come and go, but you will always exist. I will also exist. Krishna says, I will exist, Arjuna, you will also exist, and all these kings who are present here, they will also exist. If you have understood this, then fighting should not be a problem. Because fighting is for the body, not for the soul. You're fighting for the body, isn't it? Bodily needs, false ego's needs, that's what you're fulfilling with the fight. So where is the question of lamentation? That's what Krishna is getting through that message. Then after that, Krishna spoke about these three verses, isn't it? Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yuvanam jara tadha no matras praptir dhiras tatrana mukhyati. Krishna spoke about our present situation with the body, how we are attached to the body and how the bodily changes doesn't affect the soul, and one should not be too much concerned about the influence on the body, material nature's influence. It is only the material nature that is influencing the body. One should not be too over concerned about it. That was the point he was making. And by understanding this nature of the body and the nature of the soul, one can transcend over these dualities and free oneself from the identification with the body. So that was explained in that Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe verse. After that, Krishna spoke about Matras Prashastu Kaunteya, Shidoshna Sugadukkada, Agam Apayinu Anityam, Tam Tidikshasu Bharata. The way to overcome this is by constantly reflecting on this point, that these things are coming and going. They are temporary. They are not permanent. Anityam, that anityam nature of this happiness and distress, as well as the heat and cold and all the dualities, is duality means it will come and go. It won't stay. Whereas when there is no duality, it stays forever. That's spiritual happiness. Spiritual realization stays permanent. It doesn't come and go. But because, why? Because it's not a duality. It is where you are experiencing freedom from duality. In other words, that state. So, Krishna explained that matras prashasto kaunteya, Arjuna, what's happening is matra, the mind and the senses together, mind is measuring all the time, sparsham, the touch or the senses, when they are in contact with the sense objects, that is when you are experiencing this dundum, shidam, ushnam, sukham, dukkham. And their nature, Krishna says to Arjuna, agam, apayinu, anityam, they will come, they will go, they are temporary. So the way to overcome that is to tolerate them. With this knowledge inside, one should tolerate them. Tidiksha means that, Tidiksha you will see is the first quality for a person who is trying to advance in the spiritual path. Tidiksha is the quality. It is stressed everywhere. In Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam also you will see Tidikshava Karuniga Sukhada Sarvadehinam Ajada Shatrava Shanda Sadhava Sadhubhushana. Narada Maharshi says that at one point in 6th canto. You can see that about Tidiksha. Then Tidiksha's definition is that Chinda Vilabarahidam Sa Tidiksha Idigadyade Sahanam Sarvadukhanam, able to tolerate everything. All this dundvam is dukkham. Isn't it? Dondo means you have to suffer from that. So, sahanam sarva dukkhanam, able to tolerate all kinds of distress in life. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam, how? Apradigara purvagam, without any intention to retaliate or to take a revenge in that way. Apradigara purvagam. And chinda vilaparehidam, that not thinking about it and always lamenting. Chinda and vilapa. Vilapa means to feel always depressed over it. Chinda vilabhiram sa tidiksha idigadyade, that is called tidiksha. And this quality, tidiksha, is the topmost quality for the brahmana. Brahmana is supposed to have this quality, which you will notice if you see the proper brahmanas, you will notice this quality in them, that they are never disturbed over anything in this world, that peacefulness within. Why? Because of the tidiksha they have inside, able to tolerate all other other problems of this world. They don't react immediately. They tolerate things. So that was spoken in that verse. And then in the next verse, Krishna spoke about this, the last verse we have seen. Yamhina vyathayandiyada purusham purusharava samadukha sukham dhiram somrdatvaya kalpade. So that you have crossed over that stage and samatvam. Samatvam yoga uchyade, Krishna says later. Yoga means this samatvam, this equality inside the mind. That is called yoga. So samatvam will come at that point, Krishna says there. That samatvam will happen to you. He said, and that is a yoga state. So these are the verses we have seen since Krishna started instructing Arjuna. From verse 10 onwards, isn't it? That was verse 10, Ashochan and Ashojastam, from then on, up to this point. So, I think you have a feel for this now, isn't it? Up to this part, these few verses we have discussed. They are important. But it's more important what's coming after this, because it is now that Arjuna, after Krishna is expecting that Arjuna has understood this far, so now he's going to tell him something, the most important thing, what he wanted to say to Arjuna. And this is the verse on which whole Bhagavad Gita's message is centered around. This verse, what we are going to go into the next one. And you won't find this truth spoken anywhere else. This is another beauty. How Krishna has spoken that, and it is such a sushmam. Sushmam means extremely subtle knowledge, that once you sit and reflect on that verse, you can see how our vision is so much an illusion. Everything what we are thinking about life, our understanding of life and our dealings with the world, how false it is. When you see the underlying absolute truth, what Krishna is released through that, releases through this verse, this next verse. And verse 13, 14, 15, I think we have what we have seen, what Krishna was saying there, that the how to cross over the dvandvam, dualities, Krishna has spoken. Krishna also mentioned through that three verses that this connection for the jiva, for the living entity, with the body is not a real thing. It's not a real thing. It has experienced that through these states have come to the body, kaumaram, yavanam, jara, and body is enjoying, body is taking birth, appearing, growing, and getting eventually destroyed in death. Now, if you look at that verse, you will see, dehinosmin yatha dehe. Krishna has used the word dehi, isn't it? Dehi is the soul, and deham is the body. That dehi is me, actually. Actual dehi is me, isn't it? Or you, whoever is in the body, is dehi, isn't it? If you say that instead that soul or self or anything, we may start imagining what is this thing called soul, how does it look like? Our mind will go in that direction. If you say the word soul or self. But dehi means I am the person who is in the body. Krishna wants to stress that point there. That's why I use the word dehi. That's you, nobody else, it's you. That is what you are actually, in other words. So identification with that real self, the real self, what we are, is what Krishna wants us there. Not somebody, some self or soul or something, if you become an abstract thing. But instead of saying that, Krishna said, deham. Dehi and deham. Deham is the body and dehi is you. You, the real you. For example, the proprietor of deham is dehi. Isn't it? The proprietor of deham is dehi. Proprietor of the body is the dehi, the person within there. This is my cloth. This is my cloth, my dhoti. But I am not this dhoti. This is my hand, but I am not this hand. This is my legs, but I am not this leg. Even you take this cloth away, still I am there. If you take my hand, cut off my hand, I am still there. If you cut off my legs, I am still there. It doesn't affect me. Dehi, in other words. Dehi is not affected. Nothing will, even if you take 50-60% of my body, cut it off, still I am existing. Me, dehi, is not reduced. Deham can be reduced. But dehi, you cannot reduce. Dehi is always complete in himself. He stays there with that understanding. In other words, even if you cut off, I am not affected. Body may be gone, part of it, but me is complete still. What it's showing is that hands and legs has no connection with me, dehi. With dehi, there is no connection. You can use the logic in that way. Logically, Krishna is explaining that you cut my leg off, or you cut my hand off, anything, it's not affecting me. I am still there. I will still identify myself as dehi. Only thing is, maybe my body has only 50% gone, but 50% is still there. So that is not, the logic is this, that body is not you, in other words. The person whom you are referring to as I, is different from the body. Is different from the body. In the Bhagavadam, that what it is known as Spurti. Spurti means this constant remembrance of me, I am, in this body, is called Spurti in Shastra. Where is used is Spurti. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the soul. It is coming from the soul. This consciousness that I am is coming from the soul. Even if you cut my head off, still I am there. You may wonder, if you remove the head, you have to die. Strictly speaking, not so. It's not so. According to the Jnanis, it doesn't. Because in the Bhagavatam, if you look at it, in the fourth canto, there's a story of Daksha. Daksha's head was cut off, isn't it? And they have replaced it with another head, goat's head. Possibly, sometime in the future, with all the way the science is going on, they may do that, even with our body. We may be able to replace the head with another head. That can happen. Why it is said like that is, that in yoga system, Krishna in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taken knowledge from all different parts of the Vedic traditions. He has taken from Sanghyam, which we are discussing now. He has taken Patanjali's Yogam. He has taken that. And Ashtanga Yogam, he has taken that as well. Then he has taken from Bhakti Sutras, also Brahma Sutram he has taken knowledge. He has taken knowledge from Upanishads and he has packaged it in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a package of all these things. It is not one philosophy in Bhagavad Gita very specifically. It is a mixture, or you can say it's a package of various darshanam. Darshanam means various philosophies of the different sages. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Krishna has taken. Kapila Maharshi's Sanghyam, Krishna has taken. What we are discussing is like that. So you will see a mixture of all this is happening all the time. Similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram is also there in that. Brahma Sutra Padescheva Hedu Madhbhir Vinischede. Later on, Krishna says. He has taken from Brahma Sutram. So Brahma Sutra means Vedantam, Vedanta philosophy. So Vedantam he has taken from Vedavyas. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram he has taken, Kapila Maharshi's Sanghyam he has taken. And occasionally he has taken from the other sages also, from Upanishads, certain statements he has taken. That means from different sages like Yajnavalkya Maharshi and Parashara and few other sages. From their Upanishad statements also Krishna has drawn something into Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is all blended together, but blended very well. That's the beauty only. Krishna won't say anything outside the traditions of the sages, because Krishna has given them this knowledge. So naturally, he will stick with that. What he has taught the sages, but he has given us in one package in Bhagavad Gita the whole thing. That's all the differences. So here, what we will find there is that, coming back to this yoga system, in yogam, they have got this, what they known as the chakras inside the body, isn't it? The different chakras. I don't know whether you are familiar with this. Some of you may know, but in the yoga system, what it means is that that inside the body, they have these chakras, which practically it's not visible, but yogis know their positions where they are. It starts from the Mooladharam. Mooladharam is the bottommost part, right at the very bottom of the spine is the position of Mooladharam. Mooladharam, then on top of that there are chakras one above the other. And in the yogic process, these chakras are the most important ones. Why? From Mooladharam, the pranan starts rising through these different chakras. It comes to the top. And here what is known as Brahmarandham on the very top. And there the soul exit through that. The pranan exit through that, right? At the time of death. So, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna. Then, Sahasraram, Brahmarandram. These are the chakras stages, at different stages. Different chakras at different stages. And if you refer to some yoga system, yoga book, you will see where they are located and all of those things. Our interest is not that. Our interest is something different. From the yogic point of view, Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, Anahadam, Vishuddhi, Ajna, then Sahasraram, then Brahmarandram, through which the soul lives. So normally the yogis say that the jiva, which is started its journey from Mooladharam by practicing yoga practices, it comes through all these chakras and eventually it comes to Sahasraram and then exit from that. That is their understanding or their logic behind it. This is when the soul leaves the body. That only perfect Ashtanga yogis can do that. That they can allow this to break through this hole here and exit through that. The soul will leave through that. That is a particularly very, very rare thing happens. Only great, great yogis who have probably practiced many lifetimes and have perfected it to such a degree, they can do that. In that process, there is also the three things inside, what is known as Ida, Pingala and Sushumna, the three nadis, which goes around all these chakras in a curled way, it goes up. You will see, if you look into some photo, you will find that. It's all on the internet if you're not, if you want to understand more. Everything is on the net, so nothing to worry. So, Sushumna is the middle one. Ida and Pingala are the two coiled ones which goes around to the top. Now, this as a part of this body, which is this thing, is an important thing because it's a part of Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Who is Patanjali? Patanjali is Adishesha. Who is Adishesha? Adishesha is Lord Balaram. Balaram is Sankarshanamurti. He is the master of this system. So when he appeared in this world as Patanjali, he wrote that book called Yoga Sutram, and that became the authority of the yoga practice. And that is from there all these other things have come out, other yoga practice, yoga schools and all that. So, yogis, what they do, the jiva which is inside this muladharam stage, it keeps rising through the practice of yoga. It keeps rising. It's a very complicated process and it requires a perfect teacher to teach. Otherwise, if you try all these things, you can end up in serious troubles also. One of the strictly warned not to practice it, in other words, because of its complexity, that you may have to have that person who is teaching should be perfect, and he should know if anything goes wrong within your body, because you're playing with the fire inside. It's like a lion inside. If you mess around with it, pranan can completely go, anything happens inside, can completely upset your whole balance, body. So therefore, compared to jnanam and compared to bhakti, this yoga system is a very dangerous system. It's strictly warned not to go in that direction. Even when Krishna talks about self-realization, Krishna says these three processes, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, are the three ways he recommends. Doesn't speak about yoga there. But Patanjali taught this yoga system in this world for a few people who wanted to take the benefit. It also helps to understand that the subtlety of the body. Subtlety of the body. Now, why we were talking about all this was that the soul keeps rising. Soul means the jiva keeps rising from inside. And it'll keep coming up, 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 and goes through Sahasraram and Brahmanandram and it leaves, right? But you can observe one thing. Jnani's point is this, that soul actually don't leave like that. It comes back to the heart and finishes there. Because that is where it has started the journey from. Why? The soul has, when you sit sometimes like this, and suddenly you fall asleep and you sleep. When you sleep, what happens? The head goes down first like this, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The head goes down. That is the logic from the jnanis, that the soul is not present in the head. Soul's presence is not in the head. Why? The soul's presence is in the heart. Therefore, the soul which has gone up, it has to come back to the heart again and joins there from where it originally belongs to, where it has started its journey from. But Ashtanga yogis will normally say that it will come up to, I think, Ajna Chakram is somewhere here in the throat. So, when the pranan comes out, pranan or the jiva comes down from the bottom, we will be discussing this in the Bhagavatam in the next one or two classes, that Krishna will talk about this to Uddhava also, that the sound that has entered in, how the sound came out first, how the jiva came out, all these things he talks about there. That from Brahmam a chalanam happened. From Brahmam a chalanam movement happened. From that the souls were created. And along with the sound it entered into the Mooladharam. And that is where the Shabdam and jiva together there. And that creates pranan and it keeps going up from then onwards. So when it comes here to the head or to the Sahasraram, that means Ajna Chakram, Vishuddhi, and then there is what is known as Sahasraram and Brahmarandram. Sahasraram is somewhere here on the forehead, right somewhere in this part where we, you know, in this right on top of the nose here, just before here. That's the critical position. And from there, there's only one more left, Brahmarandram, and it can go from there. So what the Jnani is saying is that from there it won't go further, it has to come back to the original position where actually the soul's location is, in the heart there. So it is when the soul is inside that from here it is distributing all the energy to the body. In other words, the form of consciousness and the five different kinds of air, you know, the five different kinds of air that is permeating all over the body. And even they say that sometimes in the battlefield, when they cut somebody's head off, sometimes the kabandham is that part where the head is gone. The rest of the body is called kabandham. That part will start vibrating like this, lying like that, right? Struggling to survive. So in other words, the Jnanis are saying that the soul hasn't left the body yet. The head is gone. The soul hasn't left the body yet. That's why it's moving, even after that. So they are very firm on this, that soul has to come back here, its position where it's originated from. The soul's presence in the body is here. Thus they will stress on that point. So, when we were discussing this yesterday, I was mentioning that the verse 13, 14 and 15, what we talked about, is only an introduction to the most important verse, which is the 15th verse, what is called as the key verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So before we go into that, we will just chant that verse. Unfortunately, yesterday also, by mistake I must say, I was meant to say the words, Natvevaham jato nasam natvam neme janadiva, but I kept repeating this verse, this nasade vidyade bhavo. It should have been the other verse. Because this verse, I have been reflecting on this all the time. It has gone in too much strongly. And I keep remembering that verse. Even in the sleep, sometimes I remember, because it is such a powerful verse, if you think about it. How strong that verse is. And it gives you an understanding that so much illusion we are in this world with our ideas and like I mentioned in the beginning, if your fundamentals have gone wrong, everything in life will go wrong. Isn't it? The knowledge on which your foundation is at fault, then everything else is at fault. And this is should be our foundation in life. If this is understood properly, we won't fight each other. We won't kill each other. You can see how deep-rooted that ignorance is in us when there is no knowledge. And this is that...
I still don't quite understand Natam Yama Janadipa. Because when I read the purpose, there are two points that come up in my mind. One is the eternity of the soul, and the other is the individuality of the soul.
See, you're trying to think about the soul. When you talk about this individuality, that soul is not a matter, material thing. Soul is not a material thing. Materially, you can call various things about objects. This is separate from this. Something is, sofa is separate from the television or separate from the mic. Yeah, that is a material conception in our mind, isn't it? One is separate from the other. Soul is not matter. Soul is not... What is soul? How will you define soul?
It's got a form, isn't it? It's got a form.
It has no form.
Oh, it's not.
This is what I'm saying. Completely conditioned mind, used to matter, is trying to judge the soul. Isn't it? Soul, I have mentioned before. What is soul? Soul is consciousness. Consciousness, pratyanam brahma, that is what that statement means. Pratyanam brahma. Now, because those things are a little complicated to understand, I personally feel Prabhupada deliberately didn't want to confuse everybody with making it, that is up to you to think and come to that point. Because if he writes all these things in the book, they will say, oh, it's too complicated. They will not want to get too much thoughtful about it. Our nature is what is written there, we want to accept it only that much. We won't go anything more than that. Anything out of that disturbs us immediately, isn't it? This is our mind, is what's doing that. We have to come out of these boxes. This is important. Boxing is the biggest problem what we have got. This conditioning inside, the boxes. Spiritual life is not boxes, let me tell you that. So many great, great personalities realize the truth. After they have realized, they have all said the same thing, that I was in the boxes before. Coming out of the boxes is spiritual life, you see. But because the spiritual consciousness requires freedom of mind, mind which is very much boxed cannot enjoy spiritual life. It will find it very difficult. And because our training in life is like that, from beginning to end, boxed to life. School, college, marriage, job, then straight through that into the last phase, pension, retirement, and Golders Green. This is the sequence. It's a very organized everything, isn't it? All boxes, every time you have to go through. Sages didn't live like this. Completely free mind, free intelligence to think beyond all these things. They had no boxes. They were out of the boxes. So because we are boxed like this, we have a problem in understanding the soul. Unless we become free inside completely to think and to understand what Krishna is saying, that's why natve vaham chatu na asam natvam neme janadiva. You are accepting it on the understanding that Krishna has said that, isn't it? On that basis you are accepting. Krishna doesn't like it like that. Krishna wants you to think yourself and accept it. That's why he is giving examples to you. And he is explaining to you, look, this is your true nature. Think about it. That you never die. You never dead. And all these examples in the Bhagavatam also, we must utilize that to understand that self-realization means going back to our true nature, original nature. So, soul is present in this world only in one form. That is consciousness. You are conscious of things. I am existing in the body, isn't it? That is consciousness. Similarly, when this consciousness becomes widespread all over, you become conscious of others as well. Others' consciousness you can experience. Remember, we discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami was speaking through others. Did he not? He spoke through others. How could he do that? Because he has come to that pure consciousness, where he realized that he is pure consciousness and consciousness is one. He experienced that. And therefore, when the father, Vedavyasa Maharshi, called him Putra Putra, when he called him Putredidan Maidaya Taravobhinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munim Anadosmi, it says there that Sarvabhuda Hridayam, in all living entities, I am present. He wanted to show that to Vedavyas. So he answered, instead of answering directly, he answered through the trees and the plants and the creepers and everything. They all started asking. And that made Vedavyas to realize, my son is not an ordinary child. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So from this you can see, soul is only known to us through consciousness. There is no other way you can know about the soul. And when that consciousness is in perfect condition, like Sukadev has reached, then you can also experience in everyone's mind what is going through. So this individuality, what you are talking about, is in an early state when you are not realized the complete consciousness. So at that point you can say, yes, you are on an individual consciousness. Do you see the point? When you are not reached that state of pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness in other words, pure state where you know that in all living entities is me who is existing in the same consciousness. I am existing in everyone. But prior to that, when you start your spiritual life, it will be spoken like this. Individuality of the soul will exist. Individuality will be mentioned. But in realized state, only you can say after you have experienced. And you could be at different stages in between also. That sometimes you may feel the presence through someone else but not through others. And that all depends on the position where you are at in spiritual life. So, natvaivaham jatunasam. I was instead of saying that verse, I kept repeating this, which I realized later, because this verse is too strong. I couldn't digest this verse. It's such a fantastic verse, and the commentaries on these verses are also equally very, very powerful verses on this verse. Because as I mentioned before, this verse is the truth. And if you accept it, it will vibrate inside so well that you will not be able to think in any other way. And that is what that verse is. So we'll read through that verse. Do you follow, Chandrakant, what I'm saying?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Krishna says here that the verse number 16, isn't it? Yeah, verse number 16. I'll say this. Nasato vidyate bhavo.
Nasato vidyate bhavo.
Na bhavo vidyate sata.
Na bhavo vidyate sata.
Ubhayorabhi drishtvanta.
Ubhayorabhi drishtvanta.
Tvanayo tattva darshibhi.
Tvanayo tattva darshibhi.
Once again, nasato vidyate bhavo.
Nasato vidyate bhavo.
Na bhavo vidyate sata.
Na bhavo vidyate sata.
Ubhayorabhi drishtvanta.
Ubhayorabhi drishtvanta.
Tvanayor tattva darshibhi. I'll read the translation. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent there is no endurance, and of the existent there is no cessation. These seers have concluded by studying the nature of both. That's the translation. If you look into that purport, Prabhupada mentions there, the first paragraph, somewhere in the middle, he says, we'll read from the beginning. There is no endurance of the changing body, that the body is changing every moment by the actions and reactions of the different cells is admitted by modern medical science. And thus growth and old age are taking place in the body. But the spirit soul exists permanently, remaining the same despite all changes of the body and the mind. That is the difference between matter and spirit. By nature, the body is ever changing and the soul is eternal. This conclusion is established by all classes of seers of the truth, both impersonalist and personalist. That's important, because on this issue there is no disagreement. This verse is concerned. There's no disagreement. That both the impersonalist and personalism, both all schools of thought, in both Vaishnava tradition, Shaiva tradition, Advaita tradition, Dvaita tradition, Vishishtadvaita, doesn't matter which tradition it is, all of them have accepted this truth as the basis. Nasade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorabhi drishtvandam stanayo tattadarshibhi. Krishna will also say this, that kshetram kshetrajnayor jnanam, yatal jnanam matam mama. There is a verse in 13th chapter or something. Krishna says, Kshetram is the body. Kshetrajna is the soul inside. And the knowledge of Kshetram and Kshetrajna is understanding of this is clearly Krishna calls it as knowledge. That this connection between Kshetram and Kshetrajna, or in other words, you mustn't get confused with different wordings. They're all meaning the same thing. In different places, Krishna is used to different words, that's all. In one place, he will say Deham. In another place, he will call it as Kshetram. In one place, he will say Dehi. Another place, he will call it as Kshetrajna. Right? And similarly, when you study Bhagavad Gita, you must keep this in mind, that the message is the one thing. And the same person, in the realized state, Krishna will call by different names. In the second chapter, he will talk about him as Thita Prajna. In another place, he will call it as Gunadhida, one who has gone beyond the three modes of nature. Here, Krishna says, one who has gone beyond the dualities of life, Dvandvam. He is called Dvandva Adhidan. He uses the word Dvandva Adhidan here. One who has gone beyond the Dvandva. He also uses the word Sthita Prajna, or whose intelligence is steady. In another third chapter, he will call the three modes of nature, I think. He will say, one who has transcended the three modes of nature is called Gunadhita. Then in the 12th chapter, we will explain that a nature of a devotee, which is the same as all these things what we are talking about, they are not different. And in another place, he will refer him as a jnani. And he says a jnani, he will say, which is also the same thing. So whether you call him as a jnani, or a bhakta, or a gunadhita, or a sthita prajna, or a dundvadhita, and in the 6th chapter he will call him as a yogi. So all of them is referring to the one and the same person. One who has become Krishna conscious, in other words. Who has understood Bhagavad Gita and practiced it and perfected it. That's what it is, means. Processes may be slightly different, but terminology may be different. But if you look into the qualities of the persons of a Gunadhita, Dvandvadhita, Sthita Prajna, they are all one and the same, ditto. There is no difference at all. So we shouldn't get confused over these things when the terminology is different. We sometimes say, oh, there Krishna said like this, why is he saying like this here? If you say like that, it's very difficult to answer that question. That's Krishna's choice. We have no choice in these things. But Krishna must have a reason to do so. So, kshetram kshetratnyajnanam yatal jnanam matam mama. That. So he says here that the kshetram and kshetratnya connections, body and the soul, that connection, he says is coming from avidya. Avidya kalpidam. It's called. It is only because of avidya. And Krishna says knowledge means to know that they are separate. Separate. Body is separate and soul is separate. That is called knowledge as far as Krishna is concerned. Now, body is concerned, kaumaram will be there, yavanam will be there, jara, vardakyam will be there, jara and death will be there. So, Krishna also mentioned to us earlier that one should get over this fear of death by understanding that this change must happen to the body. Now, also the point made here is that if you accept it in a natural way, that I have moved away from my boyhood to youthhood, naturally the change that has happened in me is, in boyhood I had one kind of nature, based on my boyish nature or boyhood life. When I became a youth, my nature has changed again, isn't it? I have a youthful nature then. So, similarly, Krishna says that boyhood to youthhood, and then to the old age, again my nature has changed. My nature has changed. And after that, the death will happen. So, when it gets closer to death, when we get closer to death, we must understand that it is a natural progression for the body. It's a natural progression for the body. Just like when we have got youth, say we had certain childish habits when we were children, childish habits. If the same childish habits exist when you are grown up, it doesn't look good, isn't it? We expect to grow, isn't it? We expect to grow when you grow up. You expect to grow with inside also. That your childish nature goes away. And then when you become a youthful nature, that also goes away when you become older. So if you don't lose that nature at that time with the body changing, then there is something wrong there in that person, isn't it? That sometimes you grow up and then the childish nature is left, not left you. So that's not right. So we expect that it should change in a person. Similarly, Krishna says, as you get closer to the death, from inside you will get the signal that you are ready to leave the body. The signals will come. That is a Krishna's gift to us. Why? We ourselves don't want to leave this body. A thought will develop inside by Krishna's mercy. Suppose if we keep attached to this body too strongly, we don't want to give up this body in any case, and inside also that hold is very strong, then death will be very miserable. Very, very miserable. So Krishna says that, just like that I allowed you to change your thinking as you change from one form, one stage to another, when you are closer to death, from inside Krishna also makes you start thinking, I want to get out of this body. That thought will automatically, in a natural way, will come from inside. In a natural way. It will come from inside. That's the point Krishna is making, and that's good. Because you had enough of this body, and also give you a slight realization that I'm not this body. That also will come from that. But that doesn't mean that we should not cultivate this spiritual realization. This is only at the time of death Krishna gives you a feeling like that. If you are a normal person. But if inside is full of chitavrittis and vasanas and all, that will not be taken notice of. We won't even notice it. Again, we will be miserable. We will be suffering and misery. Oh, I have to die, I have to die, I have to die. It all depends in this fight with the mind, what goes on inside, isn't it? Ekadasha skandam, Krishna says two things. Sushmana mapyaham jiva durjayana maham mana. When Krishna talks about his own vibhudis, his own opulences, Krishna says, among the most subtle things in this world, extremely subtle, I am jiva. I am the living entity. Sushmana mapyaham jiva. And among the most difficult things to win over, to fight against and win over, durjayanam aham mana. I am mind, Krishna says. So from there you can see the importance Krishna has given to the mind. As I mentioned yesterday, mind nobody knows. It comes out from soul at some point. And then it goes out, looking for happiness all over the world, happiness and beauty and all other things. The soul has told the mind, when he left the soul, that look for these two things, and it is searching for those two. Wherever it finds beauty, it will go there and stand there for some time. Until it finds something else more beautiful or something more attractive, something that. Similarly, it's also looking for happiness through the senses. This is what the mind basically does within us. In the night, it goes back and dissolves inside, in the soul again, in the sushupti state. Isn't it? Ilayam. It's called Ilayam. Till then, it decides everything what we are doing whole day. It is he who is running us. This thing called mind. Next morning, he comes out again. So like this, so till it permanently goes and dissolves at its place where it came from, you will never have peace. That's what Krishna is saying there. That the important point is that durjayana maham mana, and that mind is a very difficult thing to control. Arjuna confirmed this, Uddhava says also the same thing, isn't it? Arjuna said this to Krishna, isn't it? What did he say? He said, mentioned to Krishna, that vayoriva sudushkaram, that just like wind is very difficult to control, similarly chanchalam hi mana Krishna, my mind is always wavering. Pramadi balavaldranam, it is so powerful, that balavaldranam, he says there. So abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate, Krishna says, by practicing abhyasam and by renunciation vairagyam, it is possible. That is the answer Krishna has given to Arjuna on the, in as far as mind is concerned. So this thing called mind is the our friend and enemy both, isn't it? He says earlier, he mentioned like this. So Krishna says that not to get frightened of death, because if you understand all Krishna has spoken about death so far, you can see that it's a natural thing meant to happen, and it should happen at the right time when the time is due. When the prarabdham is over, the body will leave us in any case. So, if we accept this, then there is no need to find any fault with anyone else in this world. This is another important point. And this I mentioned before about this tiriksha quality. He helps us to understand at this point. Tiriksha is required to realize these things, what Krishna has spoken about that. In example, is mentioned like this, that when Kaikeyi complained to Dasharatha that Bharata should be installed as the king, and she insisted on that, isn't it? So at that time, Ramachandra never shown any emotions on that, isn't it? Can you imagine, he was going to be installed as the king the next day, and the night before, the incidents happened in the palace, which you all know in Ramayana what all happened. Kaikeyi refused to accept Ramachandra's coronation, and insisted that Bharata should be installed as the king. So Ramachandra said, there is no problem with me. I have no objection to that. I am happy to go. And Lakshmana didn't like it. Lakshmana didn't like it. So Lakshmana says to Ramachandra, he pulled his sword out and he said, I'm going to kill Kaikeyi now, and also even Dasharatha if he doesn't agree for this. Seeing all these things, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, cool down, he says, don't get excited over this. Just saying that, Ramachandra's that knowledge inside, how it was coming out, because when he left the palace, Vasishtha Maharshi has made sure that Ramachandra is in that state of consciousness. You can do anything in this world, the mind won't move. Yeah, mind has become that stable inside. That Dasharatha, Ramachandra was more than a father for Lakshmana in that sense, to give that right advice at the right time. So Ramachandra says to him that avaliptasya, in other words, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, the nature of this world, try to understand first. You will stay happily here for some time and then distress will come. And then again happiness will come. This is the nature of this world. And from unexpected places, quarters, distress will come. Unexpected. You may be like householders, we all know that, isn't it? You are living a householder life, but some distress comes from somewhere, unexpected quarter, either from the children or from health problem or job problem or somewhere which unexpectedly something comes and brings you some distress to you. So Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, if you have not learned to deal with the situation like this in that way, you are in trouble, serious trouble. He is advising Lakshmana on this. Ramachandra is saying this to Lakshmana. The law in this world is that you will stay happy for some time and then it should be followed by some distress. It should be followed by some distress. And from some corner, that distress will come. Somebody will give you trouble in some form to put you into distress. You can look at your own days every day. One day you'll be okay. The next day you could be miserable. Another day you'll be alright again. So like this constantly changing nature is a part of this life in this world. So Ramachandra mentions to Lakshmana that this yad akasmat pravartade, that this is something, a law that is written in this way, that the purva karmam, what you have executed in your previous lifetime, it is fructifying all the time. Because you don't know the history of your karmam, when it comes happiness and distress, you are getting immediately disturbed over it, because you don't know the karmam, what you have done in the past, why it's coming back to you now in some form. Yeah, but if you know that, the connection with the karmam, you can accept this without too much of questioning it. When he pulled out the sword and he wanted to kill Kaikeyi, he says to Lakshmana, what actually Kaikeyi has done is a great favor to me. Actually, this running this kingdom is a heavy responsibility for me. It's a heavy responsibility. That means I have to waste all my time in managing this kingdom. Whereas if I go to the forest, I can enjoy like the sages. This is what Ramachandra says at that time to Lakshmana. Look at that, how merciful God is to me. Ramachandra is saying this. As a human form, he is acting in this world to teach us that happiness is not what we think is happiness. Our happiness is all based on senses and false ego. But real happiness is what the sages are experiencing in the forest. Ramachandra says, I will get an opportunity for satsangam with all the sages in the forest. So actually, Kaikeyi is more merciful to me than to her own son. So I consider Kaikeyi as my best mother. Look at the way Ramachandra is dealing with Kaikeyi. And look at Lakshmana, how he is dealing with Kaikeyi. Lakshmana thinks, oh, Kaikeyi has come on the way as getting Ramachandra installed as the king. And he wants to react to that. But the same situation, Ramachandra is accepting in another way. Ramachandra is saying that Kaikeyi has done me a great favor, not giving me all this responsibility. Rather, he has given all this responsibility to her son, Bharat. to her son Bharat, and she has given me the best situation. Go to the forest and enjoy life there, in the association of all the great sages, discussing about the truth, which Ramachandra wanted very much. So, although it's all previously planned by Krishna's arrangement, when Ramachandra was in the forest, that is when the Nagaranyam, he met all the great sages there. If you look into Ramayanam, you will see Agastya Maharshi, Bharadwaja Maharshi, Atri Maharshi, Kannu Maharshi. All the great sages had association with Ramachandra in the forest. Ramachandra asked later on to Lakshmana, would you have got this opportunity if you had stayed in Ayodhya as the king, where you will be busy in the palace managing the affairs and looking after the welfare of the people. All those responsibilities Kaikeyi took away from me. And she wanted me to enjoy life and go to the forest and have a good time. So that warning Ramachandra mentions there. So what I'm saying is that Ramachandra saw life in one way and Lakshmana saw it in another way. Lakshmana saw it in another way. So spiritually realized personalities, or spiritually who have gone to that stage of self-realization, they will see life in a different way. Listen, I mentioned about Ekanath's story, if you remember. Ekanath was a great devotee. Ekanath has written commentary on Ekadasha Skandam, and it is very famous in Marathi language. It has been translated to other languages also, but Ekanath is a highly realized soul, a great devotee and a great personality who had a great devotion to his spiritual master as well, Ekanath. So this Ekanath, I mentioned that he was so tolerant in his life that no matter how many times he was spat on his face by the person who had envy towards him, he would not react to it. Because his answer is more interesting. He says, whatever you spat on me, I can wash it out by bathing again. But if by inside, if I let you in my inside, that's what he's saying. That, remember we discussing yesterday, don't let somebody inside to get inside you. If he gets inside, that becomes, will turn out to be a vasana later. If he develops into a vasana, I have to accept another body to fulfill that vasana, what I had towards him, or that hate, or whatever, or jealousy, or envy, what I have developed inside. In order to fulfill that, I will have to take birth again. So he was so conscious of these things that Ekanath was willing to, 27 times or so, he went back to the river to bathe. And the last time when he came out, this person who was spitting at him, he fell down at his feet and asked him, why is that you never got affected by this, that I offended you so much, still you were willing to go on doing this thing? So Ekanath answered at that time, my dear brother, that your spitting on me is not bothering me so much because I can wash it off from outside. But if I were inside, if I develop any kind of an enmity or revenge towards you, that will get stronger inside. And with the result that I have to come back again. In other words, another body I have to accept. So that you can see, that is the spiritual realization. A person who is a spiritually realized soul will talk in that way. Suppose it was us, what would have done? The first instance only reacted straight away. You won't go for the second time, would they? So you'll think that is the answer to the problem. So Krishna is saying that you have this freedom to take something inside or not. That freedom you have. Outside you can't change. How the world will deal with you, on which you have no freedom. But whether to take it inside or not, that you have the freedom. That is the important thing. Most of our problem is we take it everything inside, isn't it? Once we take it inside, then it breeds inside. It keeps growing, developing there. And then we will find all reasoning and logic to put the other person down or to bring him down, and arguments and all other things begins from there. So Krishna was saying this, that to stay, not to allow the mind to move, not to get disturbed over it, is a important thing. Then somehow or the other, Krishna is saying that all the liberated souls, Jivan Muktas, they are in this state. Jivan Mukta state means this. This is another word. Same thing. Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means liberated in this life. The state is like this. That the unaffected by the things. Sthita Prajnatvam. This is all means exactly the same thing. Then, one sage once mentioned one Babaji who was living in the forest. So thieves found him. Thieves caught him. And they thought that he is hiding something from them. And he was trying. They were trying to physically assault him and get his wealth. They thought he was putting on a show there and trying to hide something from the thieves. So the thieves, what they did, they took these green chilies, ground it, and rubbed it on his body to give him as much pain as possible. So after the thieves left, they asked him, how did you feel when they rubbed on the body? He says that when they rubbed it, it was burning. But after that, I had a very cooling effect, he says. So after that, for some time, so they had done me a favor. That's how he sees that. So you can see even all the saintly people, when they are offended or insulted also, they try to take it in that way, tolerate that, rather than reacting to that situation. So that helps you to become the situation, what is known as Amrita Swarupam, what Krishna talks about, Samachittattvam, equal mind. And in that way, we will become Pakkum. Pakkum means we will come to maturity. And Amritattvam, and what Krishna said in the last verse, Samadukka Sugamdhiram, Swamritattvaya Kalpade, the Amritattvam will develop inside. There is no other way that Amritattvam will build inside, except through tolerance. So that is why spiritual life is nothing but a challenge, how much you can tolerate to adverse conditions in life. And that is your spiritual advancement. That's the only way you can measure your spiritual advancement. Not by the number of rounds you have chanted. No, that's not. This is the actual spiritual realization in this way. How much you are willing to tolerate other miseries of this world, that's your spiritual success. Sadhana is necessary, not that I'm bringing it down, but some people have determination, strong determination to chant, say, 64 rounds. You may chant for 3 months, 6 months like that, then they will again find it difficult or they don't have the strength to do for that. But beyond that, this influence in the consciousness that I'm willing, able to tolerate all conditions of life is a much higher state than what you have achieved through all other things in life. This is the point Krishna is making. After this, there are two things in that verse, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo. Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. Ubhayoravi Drishtuandam Sanayor Tattva Darshabi. Krishna says here, first thing is that whatever that I am not, I have to reject them. Move away from me. Whatever I am not, I have to remove away from me. What is that I am, I should put all my attention onto it. All my attention, I should focus on what I am, and I should reject everything or take it away from my attention, everything what I am not. These are the two things what is mentioned in that verse. And to mention, and one Krishna calls the word as Sat, and the other one is called Asat. Sat is that thing which I am. That is the only truth. I am the truth. I am existing. Me, the soul. That is the only truth. The other thing is not truth, because that will dry up one day, that will finish and go. So in these two things, first thing is called asat. That means what I am not, I have to discard it and reject it and take it, throw it away. That is asat. What I am, I should put all my attention on that thing, what I am, and that is the soul. That is called sat. Sat is called the soul. So, one is temporary, eternal. One is temporary and the other one is eternal. Shashvatam and Ashashvatam. So, in that verse, Krishna says, Svanayor Tattva Darshibhi. That's a word, finishes like that, isn't it? Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubhayoravi Drishtvando, Svanayor Tattva Darshibhi. That word, Tattva Darshibhi, is an important word. What is Tattva Darshibhi? I'll read out the definition of Tattva Darshibhi. Tattva Darshibhi means Tattvam drashtum shilam yasham te tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshi means tattvam drashtum shilam. That his habit is, he is always, he has got the shilam or habit of tattvam drashtum, is always seeing the truth. One who is seeing the truth all the time, tattvam drashtve shilam, esham te tattvadarshi. He is a tattvadarshi. And this word tattvadarshi is an important word. Prabhupada has given the translation as one who has seen the truth, isn't it? If you look into that verse, where is that? It comes in the later, in the fourth chapter, I think, that he says there that he's mentioning there that while looking, learn the truth from a spiritual master. What's that verse? Tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnanina tattvadarshivi. The word tattvadarshi comes there, isn't it? So tattvadarshi is that person, tattvam drashtam shilam eshamde tattvadarshivi, who is always seeing the tattvam. One who sees the tattvam always, he is tattvadarshi. Drashtam shilam, that is his habit. So, here, tattvadarshi is discussed. Tattvadarshi is the person one should go to know the tattvam. He is the one who can make you understand the tattvam. One who knows the tattvam. So, in this Eshamte tattvadarshi being, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will find the same thing. In the first canto itself, when the sacrifice was going on in Naimisharanyam, when the sages were performing sacrifice in the Naimisharanyam, what they saw there was that Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada, says in the Bhagavatam, that Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasram Samamasada, 1,000 years lasting Satram or sacrifice has started, and Surgaya Logaya, that the goal of going to Surgam, to heavenly planets, it mentions like that. So in the next chapter, Sudha Goswami says there, corrects them, saying that Surgam is not the goal, actually. Surgam has got also different meanings. It's not only heavenly planets, but Sudha Goswami says there to Shaunaga Rishi and others who are present in the forest, in the sacrifice, that the goal is not going to Surgam or anything else, but rather finding the tattvam. Tattvajnanam is the goal. Knowledge of the tattvam is the goal, isn't it? So if you look into Bhagavatam in the second chapter, I think it is in the second chapter, that the divine and divinity or devotional service, I think that chapter is titled, and where you will notice several verses. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarvasamshaya, shriyande jasya karmani, drishto evatmani ishvare. There is a verse there. That when vidyade hridaya grandhi has broken down, chidyande sarvasamshaya, all the doubts have gone away, shriyande jasya karmani, his karmam is all finished, and then he will see drishtum evatmani ishvare. So, along with that, jivasya tattva jnyasa, he says. Life is meant for tattva jitnyasa, to know the ultimate truth, what is truth. So, tattvam and tattva jitnyasa and tattva darshanam, this is the goal what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is talking about. How to realize the truth, in other words. Tattva darshanam, tattva jitnyasa and tattvam, these are important. The word is tattvam is important. One who has knows the truth is called tattvavit. Isn't it? It's called tattvavit. And you will find these words coming at several places in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam also. So, tattvadarshanam is important. Sattamyat brahmadarshanam, tattvadarshanam, it's the same thing. So, tattvadarshanam is important. So, Krishna says here that out of the four things, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, four things, it's only moksham that is important. Other three are not important. Important in the sense, in the strictly in the Vedic tradition, these four things are accepted as the Purushartham. Purushartham means what one should have in life. Dharmam, Artham, Kamam, Moksham. Artha Kamam strictly is not a thing what one should be looking for. The reason being, Artha Kamam doesn't require any encouragement from anybody. Why? We have come to this world with plenty of vasanas inside, isn't it? Without anyone telling us, nobody has to teach us, you have to work and earn money. It is ingrained in us, isn't it? Artham. And nobody has to tell us to gratify senses, because that's all what we are looking for in life. So Artham and Kamam, for which Krishna says Vedic literature is just, strictly speaking, not required. It's not required. Even if you are not instructed, you will do it without anybody's instruction. But then why Arthakamam was brought in? The sages knew very well our nature. If you just let them go, they will go uncontrolled like a bull and go for Arthakamam only. They will not care about moksha. So what they thought was, by introducing dharmam into it, at least there will be some control on this endeavor for making money and sense enjoyment, artham and kamam. So you can at least have some discipline in life without becoming completely completely let loose freely. Yeah? So they brought this dharmam in front of artham and kamam. So they say that if you have dharmam and if you engage in artham and kamam under the control of dharmam, then it will not damage you very much. It won't cause too much of a problem. They were also very considerate. They knew that every living entity is coming with plenty of vasanas inside. So if they just tell us only about moksham, we won't listen. We won't take it seriously, which is quite understandable. Even after giving all facilities, we are not taking it. So what to talk about when simply moksham is spoken to us? So they thought, before moksham, let's give them some concession in the form of arthakamam, and they let them live in a way of dharmam. So therefore, dharmam, artham, kamam. But neither of these three is the goal. Goal is moksham. Moksham. Moksham means tatodarshanam, in other words. Yeah. So this is the way the sages thought about that. And they also knew that through dharmam they can control arthakamam. And in that way, somehow or the other, get rid of the vasanas from inside, what we have accumulated through several lifetimes, and free yourself and keep the life purer, cleaner, to understand tattva. Then the tattva will manifest in us. We will understand the tattva, importance of tattva, and our genuine interest will develop inside. In a natural way, we will look for the tattva. If the vasanas are removed from inside, right? The vasanas are removed from inside, genuinely we will look for the tattvam, because there is no vasanas inside. We want to know the truth. What is distracting us from knowing the truth or tattvam is the vasanas inside, that it goes after so many other things in this world, looking for all kinds of sense enjoyment, and also fulfilling this ahanda, mamata, me and mine, all these kind of things. So, anyway, important point here is vasana should go, and not do that. The sages have devised this setup that somehow or the other let them keep their vasanas away. Now, what has happened on the other hand was, the poets, particularly the poets, and also the people who make all these dramas, and nowadays the movies and all that, they started creating another world for us in the name of artham and kamam. It's centered around kamam. They created a world in this world. Animals don't have this problem, but we have this problem. What the poets have done, poets are not supposed to write poems particularly about love stories and all centered around kamam, material desires. They write the poetry. Isn't it? So poetry has started developing in that way, And that has started increasing our mind, growing, making our mind to grow, to develop more desires and fulfill those desires. Desires builds up inside. If you look into all the great literature that has been created in this world, poetry I'm saying, a lot of it is centered around sense gratification, isn't it? It's not helping you spiritually. There's no spiritual knowledge in that. It's all centered around the body and bodily relationships. A man meets a woman or a boy meets a girl and how the relationship... So much has been written on this topic, is it not? If all languages, not only in English, in all languages, you will find this romantic novels and fiction. What's all this? It's only making your mind to grow in that direction. So when the vasanas grows up by reading this kind of literature, the vasanas will increase inside. That's one thing. And the same thing the movies and the dramas have done. If they help you to get rid of your vasanas inside, when it is related to Krishna, or when it is related with the Absolute Truth, which will give you some desires to wipe out this vasana. But on the other hand, if you engage in activities like this Bollywood films and Hollywood films and all Chollywood, Collywood, all that kind of things, if you keep on watching them, what will happen is such vasanas will grow inside very strongly. That means these vasanas which has entered inside, they'll become strengthened and it become very, very difficult to get rid of them from inside. And those vasanas will come and show its power at the appropriate time. It will build up inside. So, in a normal way, Krishna says here that the tattva jijnyasa can happen only it is vasana shunyam inside. The peacefulness inside means there is no vasanas, no movement inside. So, the mind is peaceful, shanti is inside. At that time, the sages have found out that shanti is the key for tattva jijnyasa. To allow the thoughts to move on a higher plane, we have to come from the lower planes, isn't it? If you find happiness in the lower planes of these love stories and all these kind of things, what we worldly news, for example, what happens, anything related to it, that is not conducive for developing the higher thoughts. It is only for this reason that the sages went to the forest as well, that they did not want to get influenced by the common man in the village, what he will talk about. They don't want to hear that, all centered around the body, isn't it? When two people meet each other, what do they say? How are you? Yes, so I'm fine. What fine? He's going to the chemist to get the medicine and it's fine, isn't it? So this all bogus and foolish interaction goes on in this world. And sages didn't want this, how are your business, so they went away to the forest. And I don't think they asked each other in the forest, how are you, every day, morning. So, what Krishna is so, jivasya tattva jijnyasa nartayas chaha karma bhi. Artham karmam kamam, this is not the goal of life. Jivasya tattva jijnyasa. Tattva jijnyasa is the goal of life. And it is then that Sudha Goswami is mentioned this to Shaunagrishi and the sages present there. Vadandida tattvavidam tattvajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyate. He said that vadandi, he says, the learned people say this. What is that? Vadandida tattvavidam, one who has known the truth. Tattvavid means one who has known the truth. That truth is tattva jnanam advayam. Advaya jnanam means there is one without a second. There is no duality there in the truth. There is no duality. There is only one, that truth there. Jnanam, that knowledge is advayam. Advayam means without any duality. And he said, vadandita tattvaidam tattva jnanam advayam, and that tattvam is called Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan by Transcendentalist in three different names. The substance is same, but jnanis will call it as Brahman, the yogis will call it as Paramatma, and devotees will call the truth as Bhagavan, but the truth is one. Truth is not different. Now, our materially conditioned mind will start thinking straight away. Oh, I am superior to that one, you know. Why? Because I am going after Bhagavan, whereas the other two are lower. I don't think they'll make it. Why no? You think they were all fools who are doing this? I mean, after all, they also had some intelligence, isn't it? Who went after Brahman. And who went after Paramatma also were not foolish. They had some interest and they had some understanding. But in our material mind, we make this judgment. That. So, important thing to know is here, yal jnanam advayam, there is no two in there. It's only one. That one thing is known to others. According to your mind, you are progressing in that path. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti shabdyate. In three different names, they are known among the transcendentalists who are searching after the truth. That's what it actually points out at. Now, sometimes we think that in our short life, what we have in this world, it's only now we have got the best in our kind. Prior to all these millions of years we were in this world, they didn't get it. We got it now when we are here. Too difficult to accept that, isn't it? Wholeheartedly, that how come in my lifetime it has happened? And how come only me got it, nobody else got it? It's a little bit a strong argument. So, but the point is made here is that Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan is always there. In three forms it is understood. And when we present it to others also, we should be careful to keep these things in our mind. So, vadandita tattvavidam tattvajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdyate. The only difference is in the name. There is no other difference. The whole creation is, his presence is there. That consciousness, Krishna, is present in all whole of creation. Then, once there was an ashram, and you heard about Shivaji, isn't it? Shivaji's spiritual master was Ramdas, Samarth Ramdas. In his ashram, he was a devotee of Ramchandra, and he had always chanted the holy name of Ramchandra. Always chanted holy name of Ramchandra, and many people used to come to visit him. He was a very advanced person spiritually. So when they came to his ashram, he's always chanting the holy name of Ramchandra, but there was not one photograph of Ramchandra anywhere. So somebody said to him that, how come, Swamiji, you don't have any photo of Ramchandra in this ashram? So he says to him that, I am seeing Ramchandra standing right in front of me in your form. There are so many Ramchandras coming here, going everywhere. In other words, he was saying here that the that what I am giving importance is to the presence of that Ramchandra's presence in everyone's heart who is present here. So it so happened at one time, one sannyasi came to his ashram. And when he came to his ashram, this sannyasi used to worship the deity. And he used to, in the morning, and in the Ramdas made all arrangements for him to stay. And he told all the other maids in the ashram to give all facilities and help to that person. But that person was a little bit, although sannyasi and all, very angry, used to get angry very quickly and react very strongly to people. So, early hours around this time in the morning, he has his deity worship going on in the ashram. So he had his bag where deities were packed, which he used to carry with him wherever he went. All the deity paraphernalia, and then he will, in his room, he was given a special room to stay. Normally, even now it is to some extent like that, sannyasis can go from one ashram to another. They will let you stay for a few days to live there, and then they will leave and go to another place. So like that, there are hundreds of ashrams even now. So our sannyasi who has come as a visitor here, he kept his deity in the morning, took it out from his bag, and all deity paraphernalia, everything, he has set it up. And he was chanting the mantram and he was trying to do his puja, which he daily did for the deities. He was doing that. So at that time, by chance, someone came there, and he was not aware of anything, what was going on. He wanted to find out something, and he asked something to this sannyasi who was doing the puja inside. So sannyasi got so angry with him that he has upset my deity worship. He got so angry, he came out shouting at him at this time in the morning. He was shouting at him and he was still not satisfied. He started chasing him out of the place. He says, he has come to disturb my deity worship, this, that and the other. So the whole ashram became very much turbulent with this sound, fighting sound and noise and everything. So there was one Krishnabai, I think her name, she was the sort of a superintendent in the ashram. So somebody went and reported to her, and she didn't know how to react to the situation. He's a sannyasi, and she is just managing the ashram. You know, normally you will find like that in ashram, some senior ladies will run the kitchen, and they look after that all the inmates, that they have the facilities to stay, and if they have any problems, they can talk to her, and she will make sure that they are helped. So, Krishnabai, she went up and when she heard about this incident, that this sannyasi has gone out of control and he is getting very wild with this person, whatever has happened, there was no grain of titiksha inside in that person. He went completely out, crazy. So somebody went and told Krishnabai about this, because Krishnabai didn't know what to do. So Krishnabai went to Ramdas and mentioned this to Ramdas. You know what Ramdas did? Ramdas was in meditation. So he got up without saying one word, came to sannyasi, took out all his deities and paraphernalia, everything, put it in the bundle, and there was a well nearby. He went and threw it into the well. And he said, you can go now, he said, I'm here. Why did he do that? Because his point was this. He said, you are a sannyasi and you are doing deity worship. And if you are not even recognized that the presence of Krishna in another living entity, simply seeing in the deity everything, not recognizing even a little bit of the life Krishna who is present come to you in this way, and completely ignoring him and ill-treating him, then you are doing deity worship. I think you should stop it now. That was he was telling him. That first you develop these qualities before you enter into deity worship. Now what's happening, most of the places you see, they are busy with deity worship, but they have no time for you. Mm-hmm. If you come, they will completely ignore you. And they'll say, why are you here? This is the way they look at you. But this is crazy. This shows the consciousness in which they are living. That if you are not able to extend some friendliness to another person who has come, and if you don't recognize that, it doesn't please Krishna. Definitely not. That Krishna's presence in this, that is why in the Bhagavatam repeatedly stressed on this point, to see Krishna is inside of, Gopis also said this, isn't it? Nakhilu gobiyan andano bhavan, you are not a child of Yashoda Devi. Nakhila dehina, akhila dehinam andar alma drukka. That akhila dehinam, that means all bodies, you are the soul present inside, and drukka also, you are the one who is witnessing everything. Vikhana sarthi de vishwaguptai sakham udayivan satodam kule. That the whole consciousness in the world is running because of your presence inside. Otherwise the world doesn't exist. So how can I ignore you and take something else? Deity is there, fine. You have to worship the deity for your spiritual life advancement. But when right in front of you he is present in all these different bodies, how can you ignore that presence in that and take to the worship in the murti so seriously? That's what the story is about. Then eventually that Krishna says here that to see this Brahman, Krishna's presence in every living entity, is the key for knowing Satya and Asatya. Satya has got no abhavam. In other words, what is Sat will always remain. It will never go from this world. It will always, you cannot destroy it. This is the nature of Satya. This word Satya and Asat is important. Sat means which has got existence, proper existence. In other words, you can, under no circumstances, you cannot destroy it. Under no circumstances, you can destroy it. It will never cease to exist. that is Sat. I have mentioned before, Bhishma, Drona and all that, they were in that understanding strongly, that they never get killed. If you come to that platform, you won't feel about losing the body or death. Fear doesn't come to you. Fear is there because of the bodily identity, isn't it? Identification with the body is a cause of fear. But if there is no fear that I am this body, if there is no identity with the body, I am identifying with the soul, like Bhishma did, this question of death doesn't become any more a cause of concern for them. So it says here, whereas Asat, he has no permanent existence. Isn't it? Asat has no permanent existence. So in this particular verse, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Bayorabi Drishtvandam Stanayo Tatvadarshibhi, that this fundamental principle that soul is Sat, everything else is Asat. Everything else is Asat. Only thing that is Sat is the soul. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you accept this principle that Sat is the soul, everything else is Asat, then you have got over the problem. Then you have got over the problem. Problem is now, Asat and Sat is all mixed up for you. One thing. Secondly, many cases you are seeing Asat as Sat as well, and Sat as Asat. All this confusion inside. But to get that clarity first is important. That's why he's saying, Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada, Ubayoravi Drishtvandam Stanayor Tattu Darshibhi. That through examples and that Ubhayam, these two things, the sages have already got this very firm in their mind established, that in every living entity, if you recognize Krishna's presence in there, you will not be able to create any ill feelings towards another person under any circumstances. Now, if Krishna says, if you understand Sat and Asat properly, because in every person Sat is there, Asat is also there, isn't it? Sat is the soul, and Asat is the body, and the mind, and the intelligence, and the ego. They are all Asat, because they all have no reality. The reality in a person is only the Sat, the soul. So if this is strongly accepted or strongly recognized by a person, then Krishna says here that it will give you a lot of benefit from in life. And that's the only thing to be recognized first. Nasada Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada. Sat is what exists. Asat is that what that doesn't exist. Then we will discuss this in two levels, this verse. One in Tattvam, in the level of Tattvam, and the other one in our experience level in this world. Tattvam and experience are two different things. Tattvam is the benchmark where we want to, what we want to realize, isn't it? Tattvam is the benchmark. Krishna says this is the truth and leaves it there. But how to bring that into our anubhava mandalam, in our experience level? So in two levels we have to understand this truth. First we'll go through in the tattva level. In tattva level, once we understand, then it becomes easier to understand when it brings into the anubhava mandalam, experience level. So, if you look at the creation, you will see that it's constantly changing, isn't it? The change is so fast, sometimes we are not even able to recognize it, how things are changing all over the world, isn't it? And sometimes you don't notice it, you accept it, oh, it's natural. But when you get older, you start seeing the change has been too fast for you to adjust with that. It becomes so fast, isn't it? And these changes that is happening is in the creation all the time. We look into all over the world, you notice this parinama. Parinama means this change, what is happening. They say that from the sun and the moon, right up to the smallest amoeba, the change is happening. Change is happening even for them. Even they are not permanent. So in creation, there is nothing that is Sat except the soul. Including the sun, moon, they are also not permanent. They also have a certain. Only thing is there's a long, long time of span. So constantly they are also subjected to change. But what does not go through the change is called sat. That is sat. Yeah. Ye trinuabhi avastabhi na vyabhicharandi sat. That is the definition of sat. In all the three states, it never experiences the three states of changes or anything for that. What is the three states? Here now, three states is referred to past, present and the future. Past, present and the future. That's why we call the unchanging truth. Unchanging. It is fixed. Fixed in the past, fixed for now, fixed for the future. In all circumstances. That it never changes. Now, an example is talked about this. That see, for example, from the clay you make a pot. And it stays in the form of a pot for some time. You break the pot, it goes back to clay again. Isn't it? So, clay, then pot, and then clay again. In the when it took the form of the pot, we gave it a particular name for the pot. Isn't it? A name and a form it has got now. Once it loses its name and form, it goes back into its earlier form as the clay. So, all things in this world has come from consciousness. Consciousness means Sat, the soul. From that it has originated. If you look, for example, say you want to create something in this world. Where does it take its birth first? It's inside you, isn't it? So, from the consciousness, Bodham, Bodharupam, the birth happens for that product. Say you want to create a car, a designer, for a car designer, mechanical designer. The conception is inside first, not outside. It's conception, conceptual design they call it, isn't it? It develops inside first. It is that conceptual design later on manifests in the form of the car. After he has developed, designed it on the paper, he put it, and then he got the material and he has created it and the product came out from that. So, namam and rupam, name and form, that is this prapancham, the creation is. Whole creation is name and form. And therefore, it has come from somewhere, it has born, take some form and shape, and then eventually it will get destroyed. Everything that is born like this will eventually get destroyed. This is important thing. And that is why it's called prapancham. The word Shastram says word prapancham. And prapancham is asat. Prapancham is asat. Anything that has come from our imagination or our concepts, we have given birth to something, a product or matter or anything material, or anything what you find in this world has all come in this way, from the consciousness. From our consciousness, we create so many products, like cars, like aeroplanes and so many different things. That's come from our consciousness. From the Supreme Consciousness, this whole creation came out. Right? So, this thing, what comes from us is called Vyashti, and the one that comes from Supreme Consciousness is called Samashti. So, Samashti and Vyashti are two things, but both are Asat. That's what Krishna is saying. They are both Asat. Neither of them has any truth in them, because that were created. That's why there is no truth in them. If you have, or in other words, when a transformation happened in Brahman, Brahman has moved, and from that movement this has come out. But in the original state, it didn't exist. If you look into the first verse, Ahameva Sameva Agre, verse in the, there also you will see the same thing spoken. Initially, only I existed, Krishna says. What does that mean? That it's only the soul that existed, nothing else. And from there, and at the end also, it's only me, Yovashishyada Sosmeham, it's only I will be existing. In other words, only soul will be existing. In between the birth of all the other things and before they goes back into the soul at the end, all this drama what you are seeing in between. अहम एवा समय अग्रे नान्यद्यल सरसल्परम पश्चाद अहम यदे अच्छा योवशिष्य सोस्मे हम एंड व्हाट वाज देयर इन द बिगिनिंग ऑन द ओरिजिनली दैट विल अलोन एग्जिस्ट एट द एंड आल्सो इन बिटवीन व्हाट एवर दैट हैज हैपेंड दैट हैज नो एग्जिस्टेंस एज फॉर द वेद ऑफ वेदांतिक फिलॉसफी इज कंसर्न व्हाट एवर इन बिटवीन व्हाट यू आर एक्सपीरियंसिंग इट इज ऑल असत You see, in between means from originally when the creation started, right up to the end when it all gets dissolved into the same Brahman or where it is originally coming from. So Brahman is only the Sat. Everything else in between what you find is all Asat. Krishna says to understand this point first, Asat and Sat, and then he says here. That Namarupam is all Asat. Panjabhudams, five material elements, they are Asat. They also come from one to another, one to another. So, constantly this changing nature is the nature of Asat. Panjabhudams, if you take, the water came from the earth came from the water. The water came from the fire. Fire came from the air. Air came from the sky. So, material elements also by transformation, it has happened in five different forms. One thing came in five different forms by transformation. They are called in the Shastram as Panjigaranam. Panchabhudam came through Panjigaranam, it became five. It became five. And these Panchabhudam, again through its interactions, created all the other materials in this world in different shapes and different mixtures. That's how it has happened. So, all this is Asat. Krishna says, none of them is Sat. They are all Asat. Then, when we looked at the rope and the snake also, we superimposed the snake on the rope. And when the snake is existing, rope doesn't exist. Isn't it? We are conscious, when the ignorance goes away, the snake disappears and rope comes in. The snake goes away and the rope comes in. These are examples in the Bhagavadam, not from outside. So, if you look at the rope is actually, the snake is Asat. Asat was born from the Sat called rope. Strictly speaking, rope is also Asat, no doubt. But for an example when you give, you should not hold on to example always and start thinking, oh, why this example is not fitting it. Because only through these examples you can explain these things. That the rope is the Sat for the moment, from which the Asat has come out in the form of snake. Yeah. So if you throw the snake away, when the snake goes away, the Sat comes out automatically. And Vedanta philosophy says here that there's only one thing that exists, that is the soul and the consciousness. That's the only thing that is permanently existing. And that consciousness is always there, permanent. Once the consciousness goes away, then there is nothing that exists. But that will never happen because consciousness always exists. If consciousness goes away, there should be someone else to say that I lost the consciousness. Isn't it? So, in other words, consciousness is eternal. It always exists. But all other things, is therefore consciousness is considered to be adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means is the basis on which everything else comes out. If the consciousness is not there, the whole creation is not there, the mind is not there, the body is not there, the living entity is not there, the whole jagat doesn't exist if the consciousness is not there. Only because we have consciousness, we are able to see this world, experience other people, other feelings, everything only because of the presence of consciousness inside. So the importance of consciousness, and consciousness is Sat, because that is the very nature of the soul. So whenever we talk about soul, whenever we talk about consciousness, we can always understand that soul's presence means consciousness. Without consciousness, nothing happens. No soul's presence is understood. And therefore, and because he is present in everywhere, he has been given the name Vishnu. That's how the Vishnu name came. You may wonder why this name Vishnu. Vishnu means only one thing, who is all-pervading. Vyapana Shilam Vishnu. That's the word Vishnu. Vishnu is not just a person present there. That's not the importance. He in Vaikuntham is lying down on the snake comfortably and being massaged by Lakshmi Devi and relaxing. That is personal side of Vishnu. But the actual Vedanta philosophy is explaining Vishnu as the all-pervading feature of the Absolute Truth, of this consciousness. The absolute. So Vishnu's presence is in everyone. And that is why he is present in a cave, it is mentioned. Guhashaya. Vishnu Sarva Guhashaya, it says in the Thousand Names. Sarva Guha. There is a cave inside all of us. In that cave, he is present as the soul. Isn't it? So, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Vedavyasa Maharshi. That, Kim Jaban Muchade Bandhu Jandur Janma Samsara Bandhanad. Whose name I should chant in order that I can free myself from this cycle of birth and death? That was the question he asked. Who? Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Bhishma actually. And Bhishma answers that in the Shanti Parvam, in where Bhishma instructs Yudhishthira about dharma. There he asked this question. So Bhishma's answer was that Kim Jaban Michale Jandur Janma Samsara Bandhanat, that Janmam Samsara Bandhanam, from this bondage how will I get released? So there he talks about that you have to chant the holy names of Vishnu, who is present in everyone. In other words, Krishna's presence in everyone is Vishnu. So the important thing here is that the basis is Vishnu, that consciousness in everyone. From there, everything else has come out, from that consciousness inside. That is why Vishnu is identified with the creation maintenance process. Because through his presence in everyone, he maintains everybody. Isn't it? Like Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, three roles given. Brahma is given the creator's role, Vishnu is given the maintenance role, and Shiva is given the destructive role. Isn't it? According to the Puranic terminology. So he maintains everything what's been created through his presence in everything, Sarva Guhashaya, that is present in everyone, in everyone's inside, in every living entity, and he maintains them. By his presence he maintains them. We are being maintained by him, that's why we are living. Otherwise we won't be living, we will be destroyed completely. So the one thing, we feel that we are going through changes, isn't it? Body is changing continuously, the change is happening towards us. But we know inside that thing, Vishnu's part and parcel is not experiencing any change. We discussed that so many times. The change that does not happen is for the soul, Vishnu's part and parcel inside. The change that happens is for the body. Change that happens is for the body. When you are, everything, when you inquire in this world, you will see that ultimately it is only the living force inside that is the permanent thing. All other things are subjected to change. Name, different forms, they are all temporary. The name and the form are all temporary. That's all subject to change. Example is given like the cinema. In cinema, the screen is permanent, your projector. You're projecting the cinema onto the film, onto the screen. And the screen constantly changing. The film is moving on the screen, constantly changing. And you experience a lot of things based on the film, what's being projected on the screen. But at some point you can see that the film stops and only the screen is left behind. The screen is Sat here and the film is Asat, as far as this example is concerned. So, that... what is there in the beginning and what is there at the end, that's the truth. What is in between is not the truth. Just like the film, the screen was in the beginning, screen was at the end, in between the film came and gone, that's not the truth. They call another name as Marumarichiga. Just like you run around for water in the mirage, they call it, isn't it, in the desert, thinking that there is water, you go all the way there, you find there is no water. So similarly, we also in this world, we are running after so many things, not knowing that it has any truth behind it. There is no truth in there. But we still run after them. And it is even said here that not only the material body and the mind, even the wife, children, that is all asat. That's all asat. Husband also asat. So it's not only wife is asat. That's also asat. Everything is asat. Everything is asat. Because strictly seeing from the Shastri point of view, material body is an asat. Asat. Mind is asat. So therefore all the bodies what we are dealing with in this world is all asat. At some point they came up, they stayed for some time, and then they got destroyed and gone. So truth behind all these things is the sat. And that is spiritual, the soul. That is the soul. So Krishna says, if you know this clearly in your head, you won't stick to anything too much. Isn't it? That's what will happen. If you know something is false, you won't give too much attention to it, and you will deal with it in a different way. Whereas if you accept it as absolute truth, husband or wife, and then you will start thinking, oh, my husband is dead, my wife is dead, and you will cry over it later. But Krishna's point is that try to know, differentiate the sat and asat all the time in life. If you differentiate between sat and asat, you won't regret about it. If you know it is asat, you won't stick to it. That knowledge, Krishna says, that the strength of that knowledge is sufficient to deal with this world. That is Krishna's point. The strength of knowledge is sufficient to deal with this world. That asat has got always a beginning as well as an end. And if you know something is an asset, you won't stick to it with your, you won't stick to it with your mind. Your mind, it will not stick to it. And the tension will go from inside. The tension what you are experiencing is also asat. Is also asat. And everything, Krishna says here, you can have a perception, but don't allow to make it a tension. You see? Perception is okay. Perception won't do any harm. Like all through all the senses, what you are experiencing is your perception of the thing. But perception, if you allow that to become a tension, then you suffer. So everywhere you have to draw this line, and in order to draw the line, you have to know the difference between sat and asat. Practically we hear all these things, but when it comes to, as soon as we leave in an hour, all these things goes. Then we are back into our own conditioned nature, isn't it? But this verse, if you keep on repeating within yourself, you talk to yourself about this, then one day, by Krishna's mercy, this understanding, we will also get it. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have spoken all these things. If it was something unachievable or unattainable, Krishna wouldn't have left this message for us. I'm sure he also must have thought, he must have seen our difficult situation. But he has to give us this knowledge to help us out from this situation where we are in. So therefore, it is certain that Krishna knew that it is possible to develop this understanding of life. So I'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.